Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and I'm here to let you know that this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers at the end of our weeks and really the end of our ropes, and we'd like to be able to talk honestly and openly about our jobs, you know, without losing them. Because, you know, honestly, we do like our jobs and like what we do. Before we go any further, I'd like to give a special shout out to all of our Patreon patrons out there. Let's go. Here we go. Thank you to Huvian, Ashley M, Jason F, Amber H, JJ O, Brian S, Jeff S, Shelley K, Abby B, Ann T, Sarah B, Regina B, Anna L, Josie S, Sam B, India G, Lucy P, Mary E, Jamie B, Hope H, Aaron D, Kristen W, Vanessa J, Kate C, Mary C, Haley M, Barry N, Rylan L, Catherine S, Perla C, Kelsey W, RJR, Cara T, Kristen C, Johanna H, Tony, Christina K, Irma A, Rebecca J, Melissa M, Casey B, and Sarah N. Thank you all. If you're interested in being a Patreon of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, you can sign up via Patreon for as little as $5 to $10 a month. You can get access to all kinds of extra bonus shows, extra interviews. In fact, we have a brand new host who's with us this week. If you want to learn more about him, you can go to our Patreon and hear a 20-minute interview we do where he talks all about his past. Also, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Lud Lam Dramatics. If you are a theater teacher or a language arts teacher or any kind of teacher who has to put on a play of some kind, go to Lud Lam Dramatics. They have all kinds of resources, anything to help motivate your students, to explain how to do stuff. Just go check out their website. They are an amazing research, Lud Lam Dramatics. Also, let me let you know that Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. If you have something you'd like to share with us here at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, you can hit us up through the contact page of our website, www.teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. We go through there and like to hear all the kind words and messages you guys say. It makes our hearts twitter. All right, my friends, let's see if we got anything else exciting to announce. We're in week three of our step bet, and it's going strong. All of our workers, we're going to do another step bet. It'll probably take a month off and then do another one just to keep us going because it's so awesome. And then coming up pretty soon, we're going to be doing another watch party, this time for the movie Bad Teacher. And we'll probably play a drinking game or something to go along with it. So you can participate and drink along and have fun with us. It would be great. All right, my friends, I hope you enjoy this episode with featuring our new host, Count Chocolate. So here we go, episode 77. Enjoy. I started actually threatening that person. Like, I don't want your junk on my shoulders. Please do not.
Consent, man.
If I see a penis that's not mine, I will probably hit it. Just if, especially if it's close to my face. So just, that's our rule. Anyway, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host. And joining me today, we have the brand new host, Count Chocolate.
Hey, I ain't mad at you. I'm glad at you. How y'all doing?
Glad to have you here. And also with us today, Ms. Sparkles.
Hey, y'all.
And of course, Ms. Shirley Temper.
I really only listen to like German reggae, death reggae, and Halloween sound effect records from the 1950s, and Bette Midler, obviously.
I am excited to have you guys here. I've just wrapped up, well, 50% of us here have wrapped up our spring break, while the other 50% have been on it for a while. I gotta say, the spring break's been nice for me. My kids went and stayed with their mom, so it's just Priscilla and I all week long. We haven't had like a week like that in forever. Mm-hmm. And there were lots of things that happened that made me really, really hopeful for, like, I don't know, like, things getting back to normal in the fall. Not only just like seeing all the news and seeing like social media covered with people getting vaccinated, but I'm starting to feel hopeful again. I feel like I was very dark for a while. And so I don't know, this spring break kind of set me on the right path. I got some neat things going on this summer. I don't know. How are you guys doing? What about you, Count?
I can tell you that this was the week that our third quarter grades were released, and yeah, we have hundreds of seniors that have failed a course in the third quarter that is required for graduation. Oh. There are going to be a lot of awkward conversations and some contingency plans put in place and backup to the Hail Mary plan of how we can get you to graduate here in May or June. And I do not look forward to those.
What subject do you teach?
I do not teach a subject. I happen to be a counselor.
Hot.
Yes.
So I got the 8-page list of seniors who have failed courses required for graduation.
Eesh.
And Count, you were in the classroom too for a while before that, right?
Oh yeah, 13 years as a math educator, definitely in the classroom. Yeah. Loved it. Kind of miss it, but this is a whole different type of stress and conversation to be had with parents of, we need you to prepare for your child to graduate in the summer, or we need you to prepare for your child to be retained, and we'll look at a 2022 graduation as opposed to 2021.
So I'm just kind of curious, and I don't know how much of this you actually know. Are these a lot of failures because kids just aren't showing up and doing anything, or just, is it zero attendance? I mean,
there's a myriad of reasons, and I'll be honest, and I don't like to say this, a lot of it is because there's not been a lot of grace given by educators.
Oh, I hate that.
I mean, we've had students who have been struggling for, not only did they have the freeze that took place, their power was off for 7 days and pipes burst. They might not have internet and they earned a extremely low grade. And I mean, you know, you have teachers that gave them a 17%.
And you can't come back from that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you cannot come back from a 17%. So what do you tell a child at that point? Like, it's a wrap, just pack it in.
Right.
Or no, we want you to keep working. So we're, tomorrow there's going to be an admin meeting with counselors, and we're going to come up with a contingency plan to the contingency plan to the previously formed and established contingency plan to say, okay, this is your last hope. And that's never good. But we're going to do our best, and we're going to try to get as many babies across that stage as we can.
I like that.
I get wanting to give kids grace, but also when the children are doing as little as possible. I mean, there's a big difference between there being a freeze, no power for a week. You don't get you don't start failing because of 1 week of missed work.
Exactly.
Or 1 week of missed school. This is something that's because they either haven't or they've been doing the minimum. And I mean, I think if a student legit was, sick or parents are sick, and there are a lot of families that are struggling where the kids are having to work right now, or they're having to watch their like little sisters while their parents are working, and all kinds of crazy situations. But as a teacher, you do almost everything you can at this point. It's like, okay, if you just literally sign your name in the blank, we'll let you walk across that stage. I'm curious what your admin's going to decide, like what's going to be the drawing line of participation to get them there. Because they don't need to – I don't think they need to deserve to like have to be in school for another year just because of COVID. But if they've done absolutely nothing –
And that's a very valid point. And I think there's a couple of decisions that will come from it. I'm just going to wait to hear what they decide, and we'll go from there.
I'm excited to check it in with you next week to hear what's going on.
Me too. I had a really good week at school. You know, I have amazing kids. Something interesting popped up yesterday morning, though. Not yesterday morning. I'm sorry, Friday morning. So Friday morning, one of my seniors who I've had for 4 years said, hey, something weird happened in my advanced class. It was either math or science. They are the same. So she says, I'm the only girl in that class. It's all boys. And our male teacher said, and he's not from the States, he said in a roundabout way that all American women want is sex.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyway, she said, I'm obviously upset about it. And I was ready to hulk through a wall because I know who this teacher is. And I was like, he dies. He's dead. Today's his day. He dies. And she said, yeah. And I was the only girl and everybody was looking at me and laughing because they all thought it was funny, except like two guys who are shocking, not white. And they were looking at her. She's not white either. And the three of them were very pissed and very uncomfortable. And I said, okay, so who are we telling? And she said, well, I'm going to go see my assistant principal, who's a guy. And I said, without thinking about it, I said, hey, just make sure that when you go, that you don't editorialize, that you stay calm, that you don't cry, because they won't take you seriously. And I said it. And then I heard myself and I got so mad. I got so mad. But it's true, because anytime I hear stuff like that, if I raise my voice because I'm angry, they're like, hey, you're making it a big deal, or calm down, or, because a hysterical woman. And if she's the only girl in that class and that whole class thought it was funny, they're not going to believe her.
I hate to say men are garbage because I am married to one, but many men are basura, as we say in my hometown, a.k.a. trash.
Trash.
The problem is especially compounded when you are a woman in a heavily male space. Now I'm in my mid-30s, and I don't give a fuck who likes me, so I just say what I think. And probably a lot of people think I'm terrible, but I don't care. But when I was in my like teens and early 20s, it was hard to stand up for myself when those types of situations, like what your student faced, happened. It was so hard because you don't want to be that girl.
Mm-hmm. And she's the only one. And she's a girl of color. Like she's not white. And that whole class, with the exception of her and these two other kids who are her friends, are white. And they thought it was hilarious. And I'm so mad. So I've already decided, because I don't give a fuck who like me. I'm going to speak with her in the morning. And if she's like, I didn't have a chance, I'm going to pick up the phone. And I'm going to call the female assistant principal that I know who doesn't tolerate that shit. And I'm gonna narc. And I'm tempted to like call this teacher and be like, hey, did you really say that? Because you better not. I'm tempted.
I think you're making the right move there. I think that's the smooth thing to do. I also think there's something to be said to hear what the teacher said.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it was intentional or if that's not what he said, whatever he did say made the girl feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So that was not okay. I could see there being a situation where he might have said something jokingly, or, well, I'm sure whatever he said was jokingly and hysterical, and everyone except for this one really poor girl felt crap, but you need to know your audience.
Well, the context is that he was engaged and his fiance dumped him, so he
probably deserved it.
Well, it seems like he has a problem with women these days.
I'm going to stick by my post. Whatever he said, it made her feel uncomfortable, and that's the opposite of what we're trying to do for our students. So it was fucking wrong. Enough said.
What do you think, Count Chocolate?
I have a reputation for being the big bad brown boy. So in a situation like this, I would tell that student that it's okay to call your teacher out. And in that case, you probably have to appeal to someone with a little bit more authority. But at no time is it okay to just be made to feel uncomfortable in a class, especially if you're the only one of that race or ethnic background
or gender.
You can go ahead and call BS on that and let him know why it's inappropriate, and he should issue an apology. And as funny as it was, or as funny as it may be, man, I think you should go ahead and, you should own up to the fact that you made a comment that was inappropriate. And you made someone feel really uncomfortable, even though, you know, 90% of your class thought it was funny. It wasn't. Nope, not going to fly.
I desperately want to walk into his classroom and make him feel uncomfortable and stupid.
There you go.
I do a good job with that.
I believe you could. I believe you have the power.
Aww.
The other thing that strikes up is just even in a high school setting, even when you have a good rapport with your students, you shouldn't be discussing sex stuff with them.
No.
Maybe I'm just – I just think there you need to have a kind of a barrier. And I think students should feel free to approach you and ask you questions, but I don't think you should have the type of rapport where you're joking about your fiance just wanting to go have sex with all the other men out there or whatever he thinks it is.
You should not be initiating those conversations. You may have students who don't have someone to turn to, and so they come to you with questions. And I always also rely on like the counseling office when that kind of stuff comes up because they're trained. For this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So if a student's like, hey, I need help with blah, 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 I'm like, why don't we go to your counselor together, right? Because that way, if they don't know their counselor very well, you're still there with them to help them feel comfortable to talk about it. But you also have the trained professional there with you to make sure things don't go off the rails. Having that backup, CYA, blah, blah, blah. But you don't initiate those types of conversations. Mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm.
I think it's just because I've been teaching the lower grades for a lot longer. I've been working a lot with elementary and middle school, where I just don't even – it's not on the table. Like, if someone has a question, like a true health question, I'll answer it. But there's no way I make any reference to anyone getting anything like that, especially to middle schoolers. My God, they would explode, like literally just – it'd be bad.
It really broke my heart. This kid's amazing. You know, I've had her for 4 years. She's going to Boston to go to school. She's like one of the only Hispanic girls in our STEM program. She's just wildly intelligent. And you just to watch her feel so shitty about these little comments that this man said, I was ready to go full Wonder Woman and get my sword and like go smash his door in and be like, hey, no woman will ever love you or touch you, so you should probably keep your mouth shut around the children.
This is from the Times of Israel. This was posted just 2 days ago. In a landmark ruling, a Tel Aviv labor court ruled Sunday that a school can prevent unvaccinated employees who refuse to have a regular COVID-19 test from coming to work, determining that the children's safety takes precedence over the staff's rights. They said their decision stemmed from the existing information on the vaccine's efficacy in preventing infections, and after weighing the obvious and immediate harm that could be done to the students, kids with special needs who cannot adhere to distancing rules, and many third parties, including parents and school employees, if they get infected. Every employee has the right to vaccinate or not, but every employee also has to bear responsibility for that decision. That responsibility definitely shouldn't be placed on the employers whose goal is to protect their other employees and general public served by them. So while this is not in America, and I have a feeling that people would just lose their shit in America, I think there's something to be said that if you work here, maybe you should be vaccinated just for the good of, say, the other teachers and the students that are there. What are your opinions on this? This kind of goes a little bit of extreme. Sparkles, what about you?
First of all, I'm already vaccinated and it is not mandatory. And I am all for mandatory vaccinations, regardless of your bullshit reasons for not vaccinating or whatever. Anti-vaxxers make my eyes twitch and they make my head hurt so bad because nothing they say makes any sense. And while I understand being hesitant to try a new vaccine, you have to think about all the people who got the polio vaccine when it first came out. But polio had ravaged children. I mean, there's still a guy near us who lives in an iron lung from polio. Poor dude. And he's going to live and die in an iron lung because he got polio and he couldn't get vaccinated. And measles and mumps are starting to make a comeback because people won't vaccinate their children because they're stupid. So I am all for mandatorily vaccinating teachers to go to work. But I am also a dirty leftist commie, so
hot.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you because it's not even just, I know everyone's like, well, kids don't get it that bad, or they might not get it at all, but it's, I think we've discussed this 1,000 times, the kids who bring it home to their loved ones,
right,
who can get it, their grandparents, cousins, whoever.
And the thing is we don't know that there are kids who get it and die. You know what I mean? There are healthy young people who get it and they still die because their body's immune system kicks into such an insane overdrive that it kills them. So we don't know who that's going to be. So why would you not want to limit the chances of any young person or person in general dying from a disease? I was very lucky when I got my vaccine and I've had both doses and I'm like a month out from my second dose. And my reaction to it was very slight. I had a sore arm. It was kind of swollen. That was it. I felt otherwise really great. So if you're still thinking about it, don't be afraid to get vaccinated. It's good for you.
I had a bad reaction to the vaccine, but I'm cool with getting the second shot because my bad reaction was about a 4-hour flu, maybe a 7-hour flu with like body aches and fatigue. But after like 7 hours, it was gone. and right. I was back to normal. And when I actually got COVID, I had that shit for like 2.5 weeks, and
it sucked. Kicked your ass.
It knocked me out. I still have weird side effects that are coming off of that. So I will happily take a 4-hour, like an afternoon of just feeling like shit and laying in bed, as opposed to 2.5 weeks or possibly dying or spreading it to other people. So I'm like, yeah, fuck everyone. Go get vaccinated. Count, what's your take on this?
You know, I'm someone who's I've been vaccinated. I get my second dose later this week.
Congratulations.
Completely understand the stance of this school. Like, I feel like it is worth the risk. And I feel like if you're going to come on campus as an educator, you should have at least made an effort to get vaccinated. Personal opinion.
Well, here's the thing. We require vaccinations for our students. We require them to be vaccinated pretty much in, you know, if you want to go to certain countries, you have to have certain vaccinations. How is this any different? This is a different world. We are in a pandemic. Yeah, it's not about you. It's quite simple. If you want to have this job, you need to get vaccinated. If you refuse to get vaccinated, well, then I guess you need to go somewhere else.
This is from the Reddit, from user It's I am not the penguin. Like, I am not the penguin, but with an M instead of an N, which is weird, but whatever. A student thief. This past week, I've noticed a few things missing from my classroom, mostly things of kids' interest, prizes, cool stuff, some supplies, candy. These are things I lock up in a cabinet. The students know what is in this cabinet. I noticed the other day my key to the cabinet was missing. Ooh. Okay. I was very worried, like, where'd the key go? But it is obvious that a student has taken the key and is taking things from me. What should I do when we return to class Monday? I plan on talking to them and reminding them that stealing is bad and seeing if anyone saw anything. I teach fifth grade and we are in person. Ooh. I have about 10 students in my class.
My tip would be next time you're in class with them, tell the whole class, hey, I can't find my key. And since I can't find my key, I don't think we're going to be able to use any computers. So let's take like 10 minutes. Everyone just look around the room. And if you find the key or if it ends up on my desk, no questions asked, we'll get to work with our computers. If not, I don't know. That's worked for me in the past. Just kind of give the chance for something to give things a chance to, you know, just show up. Because a lot of times, especially with the younger kids, they'll get a little scared. Because, you know, if that kid's in the room, it's in his – I'm saying his. It's in the pocket of that child. I mean, where else are they going to use it?
Right.
So I bet if you do that whole, like, okay, guys, let's look around, maybe they might magically find it and be able to get away with it, which would be good. But what about you guys? What are your thoughts?
Your way sounds a lot nicer than me. I don't know. I would scare them. But I honestly, in a practical way, I'd probably just change the lock if I could.
Count, do you have any thoughts on stuff missing from a classroom?
You know, I kind of like Shirley's approach to this. I'm kind of in fan. I mean, I'm a fan of changing the lock and seeing what happened. But at the same time, knowing that someone took it and something's missing, I could go with allowing or I could go with the approach of, hey, guys, look around. See if you're finding this. I might have misplaced it. Might have picked it up by accident. If you find it, go ahead and pass that back to me because, you know, it's mine. And we can keep on with this. But if I don't get it back within 24 hours, we shutting everything down.
I like your idea. There's only 10 of these kids, though. So one of them's going to narc. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about 10 fifth graders. So you can do it the nice way, which is Elvis's way. Or you just straight up, like, let them see you, like, bring a cart, take everything out of the cabinet. And when the kids are like, oh my gosh, miss, what are you doing? You should be like, well, guys, the key is missing. And I've noticed that somebody's been stealing the stuff. So I'm taking it all home. And you just straight up walk it out to your car, leave it out in the car, and just come back and be like, I'm so sorry. We're just not going to be able to have prizes or snacks or anything ever again. Let's get to work. And then just like, be real petty about it. And then there's going to be some kid who's going to be like, you know what? I was really looking forward to getting a blow pop this week.
Yes.
And it's little Jimmy's fault that I'm not getting it. So I'm going to take an opportune moment and make sure that she knows whose fault this is. And they're going to narc.
So, hey, guys, guess what?
What's that?
What?
We have a Patreon.
A Patreon.
What? Yeah.
What?
That's right. For as little as $5 to $10 a month, you can have access to all kinds of bonus episodes, extra content, interviews with the host, and access to all kinds of fun events before they happen, like the Step Bet that we're in week three that we're doing right now, as well as, oh, we had our watch party last week where we got to do, what movie was it?
Mean Girls.
We got to do Mean Girls. We have the review for that's on there. Next month, we're going to be doing Bad Teacher and having another watch party. I highly recommend, if you like our podcast, go to Patreon and just get more. And you can also get free swag for doing it. So sign up. Do it now. Woohoo! Yay! Woo! You take a luxury cruise and the cruise ship sinks. You find yourself alone on a lifeboat with this person. There are enough supplies on the boat for one person to survive 8 days, and for two people to survive 4 days. There is, however, another option. You see an unoccupied lifeboat within swimming distance, and you are a strong swimmer. One can assume that the available rations on the second raft are the same as the rations on the boat you currently inhabit. These lifeboats, however, have no oars or motors. They will drift at the will of the ocean, so it will be impossible for the two lifeboats to stay in contact with each other. It would also be extremely difficult and perhaps even dangerous to attempt transferring the supplies between the two boats because of the way the supplies are packaged. There is reason to believe the survivors of the wreck will all be rescued within the next 48 to 72 hours, but that is not guaranteed. The imagined person begs you to stay with them in the original boat. What do you do? Do you stay with them or do you go to your own boat with 8 days of supplies?
I would try to manipulate the situation to where they want to go to that boat themselves.
Like you just go throw up all over it. Like, oh, I guess you better go to the clean boat.
Exactly. Like, oh no, my diarrhea is kicking in. You guess you better go to that other boat just so I can make sure that I'm going to be okay.
Count Chocolate, what about you?
Oh, well, I will tell you this. I think I'm going to try to I'm going to hold it down inside that boat with my other partner. So we've got 4 days of rations, and the thought is that survivors should be found within 48 to 72 hours. I don't think I'm going for the other boat. I'm going to stay and hopefully keep my counterpart great company until someone comes to our rescue. And then we can tell our story on Oprah or something and make a lot of money.
Get some of that sweet, sweet money money.
Yes, like go ahead and put this straight to film and it'll be a Netflix original and I'll be set for life.
Sweet. What about you, Sparkles?
This one is hard because the selfish survivalist in me is like, fend for myself, go to the other boat. There's plenty of food. You can also be alone and away from this obviously clingy person. But I would probably stay. I'd probably be too scared to be in the boat by myself.
The selfish part of me would be like, okay, I want to guarantee that I have 8 days of survival, like rations for me. But you know what? If you've ever had to spend time by yourself, having to spend 4 to 8 days by yourself floating in a raft, there's something to be said for having another person there. I've seen enough movies where like Sandra Bullock's floating in space and all of a sudden George Clooney out of her imagination shows up or whatever. Like Tom Hanks starts talking to Wilson, the volleyball.
Wilson,
you're going to want someone there. Even if you get crashed. I mean, I don't know if this person's attractive. That could be nice. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I think I'm going to stay there. Not just for being selfish, just so I don't go crazy.
Uh-huh.
But that's just me.
I'm still going to try to make that other boat seem a lot better than the both of them all together. I'm an only child, and I'm good. I'm good.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank my hosts who are with me today, Mr. Count Chocolate. It was wonderful having you.
Beautiful time. I will do this again, and by all means, full count, let's make a count.
And Ms. Sparkles, it was wonderful hearing your voice.
I do have a really nice voice.
Yes, it is quite pleasant to listen to.
Thank you.
And Shirley Temper, what you got for us?
I wanted to make fun of stupid people while I get drunk. My two true passions.
All right, folks, take care of yourselves out there. Make sure you put your oxygen mask on yourself before tending to others. And of course, deep breaths, deep drinks, everybody. Cheers! Woo! Cheers! All right, my friends, thanks for listening to another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday. And if you'd like to hear more Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, you can hit us up on Patreon. That's right, for as little as $5, $10 a month, you can get lots of extra episodes, bonus episodes, cool events that we do. You get to chat and interact with us. It's worth it, I promise. And each month you're in there, you can earn, you know, more swag, and you get Teacher Needs a Drink shot glasses and stuff. It's pretty cool. I'd like to thank our new host that we have with us, Count Chocolate, as well as our returning host. I love them so much, Miss Sparkles, as well as Miss Shirley Temper. They are the best. All right, folks, if you have something like to share with us, hit us up through the contact page of our website, teacherneedsdrinkpodcast.com. Really, that's all I got. Thank you, Ludlam Dramatics. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourselves. I hope you have a spring break coming up, and if you do, make the most of it. All right, my friends. Cheers. Thank you. All right, stupid question.
Your stupid question.
I was born from a family of stupid questions.
Aw.
I take the power away from you. All right.